He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. The text of God's precious word for our meditation on this feast of the resurrection of our Savior is the ultimate gospel lesson for Easter Day, which we find recorded in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10, reading as follows. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, beloved fellow hearers of his precious word. The psalmist writes, This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Indeed, when we Christians wish one another happy Easter, how can it be otherwise? For this is the most joyful, the most uplifting, and the most exhilarating day of the entire year for the child of God. It is without doubt the highest and most important festival on our church calendar, more significant even than Christmas, more significant even than Pentecost. For this is the day, the very day, almost 2,000 years ago, on which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ victoriously rose from the dead. Now that might not seem like much to a merely nominal Christian, for whom Christmas and Easter are the two occasions on which he is expected to put in an appearance at the house of his God. And it certainly gets short billing in the marketplace of this world, where spring outfits and flowers and bunnies and eggs and candy are what Easter is all about. But for us Christians, who know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior's mighty resurrection on Easter morning is the greatest cause for rejoicing that there is. Why? Oh, beloved of the Lord, it is because the physical, real, and absolutely certain resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead on the third day is essential to our Christian faith. In the epistle lesson read before, we heard the Apostle Paul declare, "If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ, those who died confiding in him as their Savior and Redeemer, they're perished. They're all in hell." Now that's putting it about as bluntly as it can be put. If Jesus did not, in fact, rise from the dead with his real body, as he promised he would, then we and all believing Christians down through all the centuries have been fools. We have been suckers. We have been hopelessly naive victims of the greatest hoax ever pulled off in the history of this world. Then our faith is empty and meaningless. Christ's payment to God for our reconciliation with him was insufficient to satisfy his justice, and there is no life beyond the grave. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, the apostle writes, as do those who preach and believe a purely social gospel of Christ merely as our example of good behavior here in this world and of love toward one another, Paul says, if that's the case, then we are of all men most miserable, because life is just too short. And then we're just history. But now is Christ risen from the dead, Paul assures us. His resurrection is a fact, established by many infallible proofs, as we read in Acts chapter 1. Proofs which the scoffers of this world are unable to shake. And our faith in Christ Jesus is therefore vindicated, reassured, and strengthened. Let us therefore not take these precious moments this morning simply to refute the vain and blasphemous theories of unbelieving skeptics. We've heard those all before. And let's not even review those many infallible proofs of Jesus' resurrection from the dead, which we considered in Bible class this morning and which you have summarized on the back of your bulletin. But let us take this opportunity to rejoice in what our Savior's resurrection means for us and for our salvation. Shout for joy with me this morning those glorious Easter tidings. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. As we briefly explore in Matthew's gospel account before us the cause of our joy, we will see in Jesus' resurrection, first of all, an act of triumph. Secondly, a message of joy. Thirdly, a mission of hope. And finally, a seal of assurance. The holy evangelist Matthew writes, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. The other writers tell us that the women intended to complete the embalming process, begun on the Savior's body on Good Friday afternoon, but not yet finished. They fully expected to find the Savior's body right where they left it, definitely dead, as established by medical evidence, temporarily wrapped in long linen windings, as the manner of the Jews is to bury, and by now quite cold and rigid in the rigor of death. Just what we too would have expected, not quite believing as a literal prophecy the Savior's promise that he would rise again on the third day. It was a sad walk for these women who had followed Jesus from Galilee, who had listened to his preaching and his teaching, who had witnessed his many miracles, and who had stood at the foot of his gruesome cross on Calvary's Hill from 9 in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, watching all of their hopes gradually fading away with each drop of precious blood that flowed from the Savior's veins. And if they had indeed found his body that morning, as expected, death would have won the victory. Their faith in Jesus would have been in vain, for nothing, and they would have remained disillusioned, distraught, and even despairing, and that no doubt is what they fully expected. Until, behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. You see, the Lord Jesus didn't just sneak out of his sepulchre on Easter morning. He exited that prison with fanfare and flair, the very forces of nature taking part in his praise, and a heavenly messenger single-handedly whisking that heavy stone off to one side to reveal the emptiness behind it. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The military guard placed there by Pontius Pilate to keep the disciples from stealing the body of Jesus and saying that he is risen from the dead, the so-called stolen body theory that is still kicked around today by unbelieving skeptics. These tough, seasoned soldiers saw the angel in his heavenly brightness and passed out cold. You see, the body of Jesus wasn't being stolen. The body of Jesus was already gone. You see, Christ's resurrection was no covert operation. It was planned in eternity already as God's vindication of his Son's redemptive work. It was announced ahead of time to friend and foe alike, and then executed right on schedule in spite of every effort of Jesus' enemies to keep it from happening. It was executed with a display of divine power to proclaim it, despite the efforts of scoffers to deny it. This was an act of triumph on Jesus' part. Not triumph merely over earthly foes and temporal obstacles, but it was the heretofore unimaginable. The defeat of Satan. The satisfaction of God's justice. Victory over death. Christ raised himself from the dead. To be sure, his greatest miracle ever. Christ, the woman's seed, had crushed the head of that old serpent, Satan, not just by his death upon the cross, but by his resurrection from the dead. For as soon as he had been made alive in his tomb, he descended into hell to proclaim his victory to Satan, to Satan's wicked hosts, and to all those who were already damned in hell, who rejected him as the Messiah. Now Satan can no longer lay claim to you and to me, who have been redeemed by the Savior from his slavery over us. And we now, empowered and enabled by the victor himself, can, as the Apostle James writes, resist the devil. And he will flee from us. Jesus triumphed also by satisfying perfectly the demands of his heavenly Father for man's ransom. Perfect obedience to his holy law in the place of sinners, by his own holy life here in this world, and perfect payment in their stead for all of their sins. Not with gold and silver, not with commodities of payment here in this world, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. Him God raised up the third day, Peter preached in Acts chapter 10, in testimony of his acceptance of Christ's redemptive work, who was raised again for, that is, because of, our justification, Romans 4:25, making Jesus' resurrection the evidence, the guarantee of our forgiveness. If Christ had not been raised from the dead, we would still be in our sins. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Hallelujah. And Jesus triumphed over death. He abolished death, the Bible tells us, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. 2 Timothy 1:10. Now, because of Jesus' triumph over death, we too can laugh death in the face, confessing in complete confidence, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. For when we cling to him in childlike faith, he promises us, because I live, ye shall live also. Death has now no power over us. Thanks to Christ, our victorious Redeemer. But our Savior's mighty resurrection from the dead is not only an act of triumph. It's also a message of joy and peace. The angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." The message is simple. Don't keep on being afraid, according to the grammar of the original Greek of our text. Don't keep on being afraid. There is no need for you to be fearful anymore. Why? For three reasons, the angel said. First, because Jesus was crucified. Bearing your sins in his own body on the tree of the cross, so that now you have no punishment to look forward to for all of your sins and iniquities. Secondly, said the angel, because Jesus is risen in demonstration of his almighty Godhead, in demonstration of his office as our divine priest, and of the Father's satisfaction with his sacrifice on our behalf. And thirdly, because Jesus did it all, the angel says, as he said he would, because his word is the truth. All of his promises, all of his assurances. Could there be any greater cause for joy than that? Christ was delivered for or because of our offenses, and was raised again because of our justification, because we've been forgiven, because we have been declared righteous by God in heaven for Christ's sake. So don't keep on fearing the wrath of God because of your sins. Jesus nailed them all to his cross. Don't keep on worrying about whether Jesus' sacrifice was good enough to win your reconciliation to God. God raised him in testimony of our justification. Fear not ye. Don't keep on fearing, you all, but rejoice. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. But besides the personal joy that we have in the angel's words, we also find in them a mission of hope in Jesus' resurrection that we are to share with other people who are still cowering in darkness, in the spiritual darkness of ignorance, not knowing anything at all about Christ's vicarious atonement, not knowing anything at all about God's reconciliation of the world because of his propitiation. Cowering in darkness, in fear, and in ignorance. The angel said to the women, "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." You see, my dear brethren, we cannot just have and keep for ourselves this wonderful triumph and comfort and joy for ourselves. How selfish we would be, to hoard it, as it were, and not to share it with all those others who are also intended to be the beneficiaries of Christ's vicarious atonement and of his mighty resurrection from the dead. Go! Get the lead out. Go and tell, said the Easter angel. Sing your hosannas and raise your glad voice. Proclaim the blessed tidings that all may rejoice. We sing with Dr. Walther in his Easter hymn. That's the mission that we have as witnesses, as testifiers to our Savior's resurrection. This was the point of our whole discussion in Bible class this morning. We need to be ready, willing, and able to testify to these wonderful tidings of what Jesus accomplished for other people, so that when we see him in the Galilee of heaven, when we see him again as he has promised us we will, others will be there too. Other disciples who had been brought to the knowledge of our Savior's redemptive work by the Holy Spirit through our testimony of him. Go quickly and tell is the mission of hope on which the angel sends us this Holy Easter day. For God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth, the Bible tells us, 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. What truth? The truth of his life and death and resurrection as the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, by this time, no doubt, the heads of these poor women were spinning. You can just imagine it. Their senses reeling with a sudden shift from sadness and gloom to joy and hope. At the angel's bidding, they immediately started out on the trek back to Jerusalem to report these things to the disciples, wondering perhaps in their euphoria whether they hadn't just imagined the whole thing. Wouldn't we have done much the same? Could this be for real? But note the seal of assurance that the risen Savior gives them by his personal appearance to them on the road. As they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. Or we would say today, hello, everybody. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. You see me now. They're going to see me as well. In Galilee, as I said unto you. Now, to be sure, Jesus' personal visible appearance to the women gave them plenty of assurance, plenty to rejoice about. The old adage, seeing is believing, isn't really accurate for us Christians, but the seeing of Jesus filled them with very much confidence. They not only heard him speak to them, the same message basically that the angel had given them, but they also saw him. They even touched him, held him by the feet, this special appearance armed them, so to speak, against the disbelief of the disciples, who, Luke's gospel tells us, chapter 24, considered their words, their report of Jesus' resurrection, to be idle tales, just made up stories. And they believed them not. If only the Lord Jesus would appear to us today, visibly, in the same manner. Wouldn't that special assurance lift up our spirits, give us the strength to move out and get busy on the mission that's been set before us? Has that thought ever occurred to you, my dear hearer? If it has, don't let those thoughts dampen your Easter joy. For that is precisely what the devil, who is the author of doubt and fear and unbelief, would have those do to you. You see, your risen Lord does appear to you visibly in the pages of his precious word, which you can read with your own two eyes, which you can feast on with your own sense of sight, which you can read and even share with other people. The Lord Jesus appears to you audibly. You hear his voice in the preaching of your pastor, as Jesus himself assures you, "He that heareth you heareth me." And he appears to you even tangibly, in a real, though supernatural manner, every time you eat of his body and drink of his blood in the Holy Sacrament. Those appearances of your Savior in his word and sacrament are even more sure. The Apostle Peter tells us in his second epistle, chapter 1:19, and you know this verse well, these assurances and appearances of the Savior in his word and sacrament are more sure than eye and ear witness testimony that Peter and James and John had of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. A more sure seal of assurance than if our risen Savior stood right here, visibly before us, as he spoke to the women on the road, as he spoke to the disciples on Easter evening after going through locked doors, as he spoke to the disciples on the way to Emmaus, and as he spoke to the apostles at the Sea of Galilee. Jesus himself said that if people will not hear Moses and the prophets, if they will not hear and pay attention to the holy written scriptures of our God, then they will not be persuaded, though one rose from the dead, though even Jesus himself rose from the dead. We can see for ourselves the truth of that precious statement in those who reject the Savior's precious word and aren't any more convinced by his very resurrection from the dead. Therefore, beloved of the Lord, rejoice today in the blessed fact of our Savior's resurrection from the dead. Cling to it in confidence as a seal of your justification before God. Hope in it as the guarantee of your own resurrection at the last day, and share its message of joy, of peace and hope also with others. The message that we shout out today as the cause of our rejoicing: He is risen. He is risen indeed, for real. Hallelujah. And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through abiding confidence in your risen and ever-living Savior unto life everlasting. Amen.